Blog Talk Radio.
We gonna start this thing off right.
I tell you, I was just having a party over here just listening to Celebration by Cool in the Game. I am Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus. And I'm so excited to come before you on this hump day. Wonderful Wednesday. That's what we're going to call it because it's all about getting ready for the weekend. And it's going to be an awesome weekend. And what's Talking Sports Plus going to do is lead you off into the weekend with the hottest sports topic. We're going to focus on the historical black colleges and universities, high school, and middle school athletic in the southeastern part of the United States. So we're going to bring you some energy. We're just going to make it do what it do. So we're so excited now. As we get an opportunity to move forth with our format, I want to make sure I touch on some very important things. Those things is house cleaning things. First of all, if you want to be a part of this show, you can call in at 347-857-4192. If you want to just listen to the show on the web link, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. Now, if you decide that maybe I want to just tweet this show tonight, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that, you can go to @TalkingSports1 or @TremaineEdwards7, @Coach_L_Smith. Then also we have @Elliot Darrell1. And if you just want to just holler at Dr. Smith, @LorenzaDSmith. So we're giving you all the opportunities, all the avenues to make contact with us. So we're really excited. And our show tonight will focus on week two, who's in or out of a college football playoff. We're talking about who's in already after week one, who's going to be out. And that's what we're going to share our thoughts on tonight. And I have on the line joining me at this time, and I have several co-hosts, and I'm going to talk about them. But whenever one of them joins me right off the bat, I have to make sure I give them that rating introduction. And I'm going to do that with this co-host. This young man, Hale, who's at this time in North Alabama, up in Meridianville. He's a graduate of Alabama A&M University. He's also employed through the Huntsville public school system. He's a coach of many sports, coach of football, basketball, where he coached both the girls and the boys team. And he also offered a little time sometime and play a little flag football himself. Our co-host, and so proud to call him our king, that's Coach Tremaine Edwards. How you doing, Coach?
How y'all doing tonight, Dr. Smith? Glad to be here, Dr. Smith. Hot topics, baby. Let's get this thing started, baby.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get it. We're going to make it do what it do. That's our famous term, and we're going to make sure we keep that slogan going on, make it do what it do. Now, my other three hosts, and also other four. It's four of them because we had additional one. And, you know, they join us as they being to join the line, and I know one in particular, our radio personality, who hails from northern Florida all the way up to Montgomery. From Montgomery over to Troy. From Troy to Dothan, then you make a stop and hop. None other is the Don King of all things, the conductor of the E-Train, none other than Darrell E-Train Elliott. And see, Darrell is so, you know, he offered his time, but he also tried to do two things. He's running his own radio station, and he also being a part of our radio station. So we do appreciate him. He'll be joining us when he get an opportunity to join. And our other three co-hosts, hails from just 30 miles south of Montgomery, retired from the Alabama High School Athletic Association. He'll be joining us. He told me he'll be here tonight, and it'll be in a little bit. And he's known as our resident high school expert. He's known to others as Touchdown Tony Stallworth, none other than Coach Tony Stallworth, and he'll be joining us in a minute. And our lady of the hour, and she came by the house earlier, and she was telling me she started a new job on Tuesday. So she was so excited. Day two, Trey, day two of the job. So she said, I'm a little tired today, Dad. I'm going to do my best to make sure I be a part of the show tonight. None other than my daughter, my baby girl, and the oldest baby girl of that group, Coach Lauren D. Smith. Last but not least, a young man, he's a millennial as well as Lauren. He works here in Montgomery, so graduate of Alabama State University. So glad to have him. And he'll call in. He promised he'll make sure he do that. And that's Coach Cameron Gimmer. Those are the individuals that make up this team. We never short Because if it's just Trey and I, we'll make it do what it do. Ain't that right, Trey?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We ready.
Yes, sir. We ready to make it do. Week two, who's in or out of the college football playoffs? Now, if you want to be a part of the show before we get really into it, meaning you want to offer your comments and your questions, again, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Let me give you the procedure. All you have to do is press 1 on your dial pad. I identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I ask you to let us know who you are, your location, and then offer your comments and questions. That's how you can be a part of this show besides just listening, and you can offer your comments. All right, Trey, who's in or out of the college football playoff? We're going to start off with our coach's corner, and we're going to talk about week one. Who's considered to be the Heisman leading candidate after week one? Share your thoughts on it, Trey.
Man, you know they going with that Jalen Hurts guy, man. You know he put up 500 total yards, 6 touchdowns. That Jalen Hurts guy, man. You know, I sat up and watched that game, man. And you know Jalen was he wasn't satisfied with his performance, and I could see where he was going, but that was the best game I ever seen Jalen Hurts play. If he does better than that, just let me know. But as far as Jalen Hurts, that was the best game I ever seen him play. He was flawless. Everything he did worked. Now, you know, people look at it like, you know, it was Houston and, you know, Houston defense is this and that. Houston gave up 70 points to Army. And that's tough to do now because Army ain't doing that but running the ball right at you. So everything he did worked. You know, I'm talking about the throws he missed was, you know, it was a bad throw. But on the other sense, if he would have threw the ball to the left a little bit, he might have been 31 for 31. But Jalen Hurts, that was the best game I ever seen him play. So I'm gonna give it to him. Dr. Smith as the week one player of the week.
Okay, awesome, Trey. And I tell you, you know, it's something that we have to keep in mind, you know, regardless how we say how his performance is at Alabama, whether we want to give it or don't give it, it's still, you have to look at that he's a winner. He's 26-2, whether you take it from him or not. And he's part of a national championship team and a runner-up for a national championship team. So you're looking at a situation that this guy is already a winner. He already has the skill. Just have to have somebody to home in on those skills and put him in the right position. So now that puts a reflection back on really where he was at the University of Alabama. I still say this, agree or disagree, if Lane Kiffin was still there, Jalen would have never lost his job. Because Lane Kiffin recruited him to do some of the things that Lincoln Riley is doing. Just keep in mind, that was some of the things he was doing with Lincoln Riley. I mean, with Lincoln Riley, what he's doing. So all Lincoln doing is going back 2 or 3 years ago, homing on a young man's skill, and say, I'm going to see how he can make us better. Now, the defense is not the same, but just be realistic. When is the defense in the SEC tough when you get to who? LSU. You get to Auburn. So that's at the end of the schedule. So you're still looking at sort of the same thing right here, but as long as you're putting up numbers like that, we can't take it away from him. And not to say he don't vault, because all the talking heads and pundits have put him up there as odds, and Vegas now is 3-1. His odds is the same as Tua and the same as Trevor. So that's amazing if you put somebody in another situation with somebody who can home in on their skills. And then we have to say, it's just, that's one of those situations that it might be Lincoln Riley is better at taking the best out of these players because he's a quarterback whisperer compared to having 3 or 4 coordinators who couldn't do that, or quarterback coaches. So we're going to give Lincoln Riley credit for that because he found something in this young man that put him in a position where he could be successful. So we're going to applaud Lincoln for doing that. Not saying he never didn't have it. It's just that you have to identify, and I think that's where we run into the problem. When we look at players, we base the players on how we think he should be. sometimes you have to put what his plus is, minus is, and how you can use it to work in your favor. I think the first 2 or 3 years they did do that at Alabama. The last 2 years they didn't, because they saw somebody that was much better as doing what they want to do, get the ball down the field. So we see a situation. There's nothing unusual. He, you know, could do the same thing in Alabama. They allowed him because they just didn't do it, because they couldn't stand to get him hurt the first 2 years. And we had to remember that too. But might be the same way over at Oklahoma, but we have to give make a ride for homing in on those skills, getting him prepared. So his odds went up. So if the question was who should be considered the Heisman Trophy winner after the first week, and we'll say we'll give it to Jalen Hurts, because he went from a possibly 10-5 odds to now 3-1, which is tied with the top three. So that's something outstanding. That's, we can applaud him for being able to adjust and show that skill. And like Trey said, he was not satisfied. He was not satisfied with his performance. Everybody else jumping around, 5, 6 touchdowns, but still, I'm not satisfied. I want to get better. You can't give me respect that in a young man. I want to be better. I want the next game to be better. I don't care who I'm playing. You know, same way with Alabama. Instead of letting up, you need to keep that pedal on them, accelerate, throttle down. Don't let up. It's go 70, it's go 70. So what? You know? So, you know, it's what it is. And I think that caught up last year when they got to the end of the season, because they're playing one player before the game or playing most of the time, which is normally kept them the first 2 years in the game all the time. So that's one of the things you're going to have to watch out for the University of Alabama and with Tua, see if he played more in the fourth quarter, because he needs to get used to playing in the fourth quarter and to see if they can protect him a little better than they did protect him the other night. But we just want to talk about who's considered the Heisman front runner after the first week. Right now, the odds have three individuals. We have Jalen Hurts 3-1, Trevor Lawrence 3-1, Tua Tagovailoa 3-1. We also have Jerry Jeudy. We have him as well up there with the high odds, as well as Travis Etienne. You know, we got those five players up there. So that's week one. We get into week two, and it's not going to change very much. I still think that those numbers are going to be high for Jalen Hurts again. Basically, all those teams, except when they get to Texas, we'll see the difference, and except when we probably play Iowa State within that conference. So, you know, just to have that first game be outstanding, that's outstanding. Trey, we're going to look at which transfer quarterback performed outstanding during the week one. We're going to take Jalen Hurts out of the picture. Okay, he transferred, and he performed well. What other quarterbacks you thought had outstanding performance for that first week?
Dr. Smith, I'm going to go with Ohio State, Justin Fields. Justin Fields had an excellent game. He had 3 touchdowns before I walked in the kitchen and walked back in there to see the rest of the game. He looked pretty good. He looked comfortable in the offense. George, I think y'all lost out on a big time.
Exactly. And the thing about it, because of looking at Jake Fromm, who's a quarterback of Georgia, the University of Georgia, when he came in that freshman year and Eason got hurt, he didn't relinquish the role. Then you're bringing the number one quarterback in the country, and you come in, then you ask him to sit there and wait. These players are not waiting now, guys. Yeah, you know, Trey can tell you, you know, to the level where they play at 707 in 7th grade now, 8th grade. They're playing in the middle school level, and these boys are learning how to get that ball out of the hand quick and fast, and they, you know, doing some things in regards to that. So these boys, when they get out of high school, they're ready. There's some of them are start ready to play, and if you convince them they're going to come there and play, you can't sit them on that bench and tell them, I'm waiting till you come. He moved on to somewhere where you got another quarterback whisper to work with him. All the things he couldn't do at Georgia, all of a sudden he's doing it at Ohio State. Unleash something. Sometimes it takes somebody to unleash something. If you want to be a part of this, give us a call, 347-857-4192, or for your opinion, just press 1. Identify your last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to share your thoughts with us. Decide, give us your name and your location. All right, Trey, I would say Jacob Eason. That left Georgia and went to Washington had an outstanding performance as well. The University of Washington, I think he had over about 380, almost 400-yard passing. So he did an outstanding job fitting in right there at Washington. So, you know, we're going to look at him as another transfer quarterback. We stated that, you know, we're going to talk about Jalen Hurts. We saw his performance. We talked about Justin Fields of that Ohio State. And now we're talking about Eason over there at the University of Washington. So those three stood out more so, and probably some other players. But at the quarterback position, those three stood out because they were at a school that probably wasn't going to play because they preferred to use the other individual that was ahead of them. And now they're at a university where they're there and they're playing. Now, there are some transfer quarterbacks that didn't make the starting position. Tate Martell down at Miami. And he got a couple other ones, just Kellen, whatever young man out of Wisconsin. He didn't make the starting position. So those players didn't make it. So fortunate to have those three or four. That other transfer quarterbacks doing real well. We'll kind of keep an eye on that. All right, let's look at which college team performed the best during the Labor Day weekend. Trey, any thoughts on that?
I'm going to go with we talking about regular college team, Dr. Smith, or are we talking about
any college team? It doesn't matter what division they in that had one of those performances that you can recognize over the Labor Day weekend.
Dr. Smith, I'm gonna go with my Tide. I was convinced. You know, I called a lot of people about, you know, the linebacker situation. I was a little worried. But, you know, I called Dr. Smith, asked him, you know, what you think, Dr. Smith. Dr. Smith told me, Trey, don't worry about that. We're going to be all right. We got a lot of people around them guys. And it showed, and what I saw, Dr. Smith, too, is them boys can play, man. And the next 3 or 4 years that they stick around, depending on what Dylan Moses and McMillan do, it's going to be hard for them to get their spot back from these young boys. Now, I'm just looking at game one. So, but they making plays that I haven't seen made in the last 2 years, Dr. Smith. On the pass, they are right there making tackles. I seen Shane Lee come up, make a stop before the flag, before they got a first down. And I was convinced, man. I mean, I haven't seen this the last 2 years at Alabama. Like, but these boys got a future of ahead of them. The shaky part of the Bama game, I'm going to stay on Bama right quick. You could tell those guys were missing. The guys that were set out for disciplinary reasons that first quarter, it was supposed to be the first half, but Nick Saban needed to see some positive about the team in that first half. So he brought them guys on back at the first quarter. But, you know, you let them know. But now I would have went on and did what I said I was going to do, or I would have left my punishment undisclosed. You wouldn't have known how long I was going to keep them out, because I probably, if it was going good, I probably wouldn't have played them. But for it going bad, you had to change your punishment, and it looked like you went back on your word. So with that said, I wouldn't have disclose the information, you know, let it out how long I was going to keep them out, because it looked like you're going back on your word. And that's a part of discipline. So you going against your word to win the game. That's what it looks like to me. But other than that's Bama look good, man. We still a national contender. Tua was flawless. We got a quick passing game now. We're doing a lot of this lane keeping passes. So, shoot, I'm excited, Dr. Smith.
Awesome, awesome. Man, I tell you, Steve Sarkisian has that West Coast offense. And that was an excellent hire to bring him back. And Steve Sarkisian going to be there a minute, because, like, he can't make it up on the college, on the professional level. He was at the Atlanta Falcons, and he don't look well, you know, back at the college level over at being a head coach, but he looked good as an offensive coordinator. Some coaches – I don't realize it. So that's a short West Coast passing game. The West Coast passing game. That's what they call that. Now, the team, Trey, I want to thank, and I feel that had an awesome performance. I'm going to call out two teams, even though I saw part of it. and one of them was late heroics by one of the team. I thought Alabama A&M did an awesome job. I thought they did an awesome job against, even it was Morehouse. I think they did an awesome job because they it was back and forth, and then they needed to. The coach made a decision. Maynard made a decision. I'm going for the win. And what he did, he went for the win, and he won. And that makes that team, the players a little bit different. They feel like they can, the coach believe in them. You know, you, as a coach, Trey, you know, players, we want to go on fourth down and a half yard. They said, no matter where the coach, we can get it, we can get it. You'd be like, oh, okay. But then when you go out there and you get it, now, it's the other side to that, but if you go out there and get it, they're at another level. So I think it's a good opportunity for Alabama A&M to work through the rest of their schedule and be in a good position in the end. And I applaud that coach for bringing that life to Alabama A&M, getting them in a position to be successful. And that's why, you know, I'll call them with an outstanding performance for the week. Also, I'll take Alabama State University against the University of Alabama at Birmingham. That was supposed to be a 3 or 4 touchdown. If I'm not mistaken, Trey, was it like 30 points or something like that? Do you remember what the odds was on there? That
it was a 4 touchdown. 4
touchdown.
28
mm-hmm.
points.
And it went into the last second drive that ended up with no points being put on the board. And the final score in that game was 24-19 for UAB, the University of Alabama at Birmingham, and Alabama State had 19 with the ball on the 1 yard line, 4 plays, and they did not score. So the point is just to be in the game. And I understand there was a, you know, they played at a high level. So their performance was way beyond what everybody else thought it would be. And then we'll look at Georgia State and Tennessee. Now, I want to get your thoughts on that one, Trey, and I'll jump on back on to it and talk a little bit more. But Georgia State and Tennessee, what do you thought about that game right there, Trey?
Tennessee still has a long way to go, Dr. Smith, before they get to where they need to be. They have to be patient. Bruce Davis was their best bet. If they would have just rolled him on out, I'm not convinced with these guys, Dr. Smith. Jeremy Pruitt straight, but he's not. Tennessee said they got to get a guy and ride him out. Like, they throwing Pruitt up on the bus already.
Yeah.
But he has to get his guys in there to do what he's supposed to do. I'm going to say that for y'all Tennessee fans. They have to get him. He has to get his guys in there. But the point of their story is that his guys are leaving because they're not finna deal with losing, and especially to Georgia State. So Tennessee fans, be patient. Just be patient. I think Jeremy Pruitt will get you there in the long run, but y'all, it's going to take some patience. Y'all going to take some lumps. They're going to take some lumps, but they have to be patient, Dr. Smith. But Georgia State came out, played well. They didn't bow down to Tennessee just because they're Tennessee. They played tough, and shoot, Dr. Smith, you got to understand, them guys was up, 14, 15 points.
Yep,
before
exactly.
Tennessee scored and went for two. So you down 2 touchdowns on a close to a D2, D3 team that just came up in Division I. So, like people say, you done paid these folks almost $1 million to lose to them. So,
exactly.
That's all I got for that, Dr. Smith.
And just to kind of just follow up on that right there, I see Tennessee as not only just having a long way to go. I don't want to have no reflection on Jeremy Pruitt. No reflection. But I just don't believe that he's head coaching material. Some people are, and some people not. Some people are outstanding coordinators, and some people not. Steve Sarkisian, outstanding coordinator, but not a head coach. So I think it's a good experiment to try with it. I just think that, you know, the choice was just made just to be made instead of selecting the best person. They had a couple other people they could have had. Now, it's not going to get any better. I just believe they're in a situation where you're not even getting the top players anyway, and then you got a coach that might not even fit in there. No, he's never going to beat Nick Saban. He's going to have a hard time beating a lot of those Georgians. He's going to have a hard time beating those folks because he's not, to me, just not. That's just my opinion regarding that. So I see that that's their biggest problem. Now, Georgia State slapped them in the mouth a couple of times, and they didn't know how to respond because they didn't have that fire. I think that fire came when he was at the University of Alabama, was more so from that strength coach who kept him pumped up. But he was just trying to I'm not saying it. Maybe it'll change in a year or two, Trey, and might not. But in my mind, I don't see it changing. I think if you can see about getting 5 years and the record probably won't be win 50 ball games. You know, he just won't because he just don't have that, to me, in him. That's what you need to have, the head coach at these days and time. All right, and another thing, when we're talking about highlighted games, as we were going down the list, there was another game that I thought was quite exciting, and it was Memphis and Ole Miss. And Memphis slapped Ole Miss in the mouth. They just took them and spun them around and sent them like a homecoming queen back to the house. And Ole Miss, Tennessee, those teams are in the SEC. Those schools like Memphis, Georgia State shouldn't be on the same field because they don't even have the type of players. But those teams are playing at a high level, and those teams that's in the middle at the bottom of the SEC is not playing. So those are some games that I saw some performance that wasn't very well to talk about, but they performed enough to get beat and really put a mark in essence on the SEC because those top teams. All right, we're going to swing it back, Trey, and we're going to look at the MEAC and the SWAT Challenge. You all went to that, right, Trey? Jackson State and Jackson State and Bethune-Cookman, right?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
You can share just share some points, you know, because you were there, you saw some things out of both teams. You can share with us, and we'll talk about it a little bit.
Okay, I'm going to say this about Jackson State. Jackson State was basically doing a lot of experiments this game. They played three quarterbacks. They started with number 8. They played number 12. And they played a number 4. The first half, number 12 played the whole first half. Number 8 started the game. He threw a bomb. They went down there. They kicked the field goal. They took him out. I guess they said it was disciplinary reasons why the other two couldn't start. So they played 12 the rest of the first quarter, the rest of the second. The score was 3-0 at the half. They came in the third quarter. They played a number 4. He was very productive. He just had too many turnovers. They took off for a minute. They was winning, had a nice lead. Then those turnovers got turned into cash points quick by Bethune-Cookman. So they mashed the gas real quick. Bethune-Cookman wasn't doing anything spectacular. Nothing spectacular, Dr. Smith. But they got off and ran out from under Jackson State real quick, Dr. Snow. I left when it was like 38-15, but Bethune was still threatening. But the Bethune, nothing impressive. What they did, the Manila approach, they didn't do anything spectacular. They don't have that many spectacular players. But defensively, if you throw the ball up, they will pick it off and run touchdowns. If you run the ball with the ball loose, they will take it from you and score touchdowns off a fumble. So, great experience. I just ain't like the facility and I say the event staff. So I'm going to get that to you. But everything else is great, Dr. Smith.
So that's awesome because it's supposed to have been a challenge between the MEAC and the SWAC, and it should have been the pageantry. It should have been many other things that go along with it. So that's it, they do it every year. and they're going to continue to do it. As a matter of fact, the one between Alabama A&M, which is a kickoff classic, and Morehouse is also going to be a classic. And you'll have a lot of pageantry with that as well. So as you see things begin to grow like that, but I watched part of the game, and what I saw, it was looked like Bethune-Cookman, whatever it was doing, was fast enough to stay ahead of Jackson State. I think when I saw Jackson State may have scored something like that, but it was just not impressive to me a point, but it was something that was going on that goes on every year. The SWAC Center representative, the MEAC Center representative. Just as well as this kickoff class is going to be the same thing. They're going to have that. I think it was in Canton, Ohio, I believe. And the next year is going to be Howard University up there. So that's going to be exciting. I know that's one of the teams that's going to be in that kickoff class in Canton. So it's exciting to be able to see these classes. We always say get out and support. Personally, I just think that it should be more classic like this between those two conferences, the MEAC, the CIAA, SIAC, and the SWAC. We should be playing each other and go for the gusto on it instead of what our next topic, even though it's not on the sheet, Trey, I want us to talk about on our format. And that topic is, that was a question posed on the Hornet Sports Network, Nation, whatever, talking about, are the money games good or bad? Are we benefiting from the money game going out playing all these money games? Does it do more than people think it do or do less? Just, you know, we haven't talked about this before, but I want to take an opportunity to talk a little bit about it right now. And I'm hoping the team comes up in here in a minute and all of them can share their thoughts on it. But, Trey, what's your thought? Because there's some concern about these money games. Yes, you're making the money. Take, for example, Trey, and I'm going to kind of give you some background with Alabama State when they played UAB. When they played UAB, it was, I think the purse strain may have been $400,000, but they had to sell, as Athletic Director Jennifer Williams said, they had to sell so many tickets too. So, and I understand they put the people meet in the seat. They had people there. You know, it was like 32,000 or more up there in Birmingham, and they said it was the largest crowd they had for a UAB game. So the point, and the majority, I understand the majority was ASU people. So was that a benefit? Then you lose your quarterback. That's going to be gone for the rest of the season. Lose a few more ball players. I don't want to look at the money. I want to look at the other phases of it. Share your thoughts on that, Trey. What other phase you think and hurt a team by playing those teams like that, even at the beginning of the year or somewhere in there? At the end, it may not matter a whole lot unless you go into the playoff going for the championship. Share your thoughts on that, Trey.
Dr. Smith, you beat your team up. I look back in the past where I've seen the FAMUs and the Southern. You have players that get seriously hurt, man. Southern played against Georgia one year and had a kid get a spine injury, and kid ain't walked since then, you know. So it's a different type of football. But like you saying, Dr. Smith, you beat your team up. Now, a lot of schools will not play their best players against those bigger schools, depending on the weight of the season. It's very strategic in how you play in those games too, Dr. Smith. If you're playing them late, depends on when you're playing it, you're not going to play very few people. So if I'm going to give you a situation. If I have to play a South Alabama in November, I'm not playing my players depending on the weight of my season going into the SWAC Championship. So if we have a chance to win the SWAC Championship, I'm probably not going to play my people. So that's a gift and a gab for the big schools that are paying you to come, because you're not giving your best shot at them, which they're looking for a tune-up game and going into their rivalry week or something like that. But other than that, Dr. Smith, it's not in the point. Like you said, this year at A&M, we are reluctant not to have any money games on our schedule. Well, I'm not going to say we don't have any money games, but we don't have any teams that are big teams on our schedule. So that's why we're so high on this season. So we're excited about this season. We see a chance that we can have a positive record, not a negative record, what we've been experiencing, these regular record or dead even record, which we have been experiencing these last few years. So I'm really excited this year about the Bulldogs. Like I said, we start out the season 1-0. We got a chance to run the table. We have a legit chance, and that's all you want is a legit chance to say these guys are on the same level we're on, and we got a chance of winning. Not that I'm playing a UAB that is Division One, and I know we're going to lose. It's just about what I'm going to lose and how many points I'm going to lose by. So that's the difference right there. With us being playing this all HBCU schedule, I'm going to say that. Well, we got a few games against, you know, North Alabama. But North Alabama is a typical, probably a mid to high grade HBCU team. So they're not out of our league. So we're excited about this schedule and ready to work, Dr. Smith.
And that's awesome, Trey. And like you said, we're going to take the money out of the equation. And just like vice versa with Georgia State and Tennessee, you paid them $1 million and they beat you. And that's the backside of it, if you're lucky to get it. Well, Georgia State is not a historical black college and university. It just had its program 10 years. That's all. They've been playing football 10 years. But just go back to some of the cons about playing that schedule or playing that schedule to make money off. You take, for example, you're excited for you. Oh, we're going to Auburn. Oh, we're going to UAB. We're going to Florida State. We're going to all these schools. But Howard went and played this weekend, too, if I'm not mistaken, this past weekend, Trey. And then they get beat 79 or something? 79-3?
79-0,
like
sir. 79-0 against Maryland.
Against Maryland. So tell me how that benefits your players. And that's always been my problem. I can go back and relate, and I tell everybody the story when I first became a head football coach back in the early 90s. And I came to a small rural school, but we was playing at like a 3 or 4A level. We was playing at a high level, so at that time they only had, I think, had six classes instead of seven. They had six class division, and we played Carver, who was a 6A school, played Lanier, and they was money game. We played Eufaula, which was a 5A school. We played Ott, which was a 5A school, and you know, you don't have a chance because the first game, if you played somebody and you won the game, people are excited. But then when you go and start playing these money games, you start getting kids hurt, and you can't even finish the season. So by that time in high school, most of them, after you got them hurt, they didn't quit. But now they think about basketball. Is it worth selling your team as a homecoming queen? That's what my biggest opposition to any college playing those games. It's to your disadvantage. Yeah, you're getting the money, but you're gonna sell your soul for a few dollars. And I'm being far fetched with that, but that's what they're doing. I always call them homecoming queens. You don't want to be everybody homecoming queen. And it seemed like we was on the schedule. Everybody homecoming queen. Everybody had homecoming when we came to town, Trey. Everybody had homecoming, but they were just paying us a little money. The schedule was set up because I came and inherited that schedule because the principal was selling the games like that. So you're not giving up, you know, you're not showing your young people belief. You know, you can win a game because, you know, you get smacked around from the start. So that's why I'm against more or less. I think there should be more challenges between the SWAC, the MEAC, the CIAA, or either SIAC. I think you can make your money that way, too. If you do it right, you know, it got to be a lot of planning, getting together, four conferences getting together and building up the historical black colleges. Trey brought an excellent point about A&M, so I go along with him. A&M can win the East. It could win the SWAG because they don't have those games that's going to cause them to lose major players. I'm not saying a player not going to get hurt, but they're not going to be to a point where they mess around and get hurt and you lose them from playing against a Power 5 team. Regardless, Florida State may not be performed at the level that you think they should be performed, they still have some of the best athletes in the country. They got the best opportunity, the best program. I just don't like doing that because I had to coach through that. So my point is, I don't agree with any athletic director from these historical black colleges. Listen to me, find a way to get with the other three conferences out of the historical black college and play some games just like what happened up in Canton, Ohio, where you had Morehouse versus Alabama A&M. Everybody would assume Alabama A&M was going to blow Morehouse out. It got down to the last play. You know what I'm saying? Well, field goal could have won the game, but the coach went for it, as I said earlier. He decided to go for it, and the Jenkins young fellow caught the ball. So my point, that means it was played a little nip and tuck then. So those kind of, you know, games, I think we need to play more of those. And, you know, agree or disagree, but that's our point. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. You want to be a part of this, press 1. I identify you with the last 4 digit of your cell or telephone number, and I ask you to give us your name and location and what's your comment or question. All right. Tell you, this kind of bounce and jump. We're at 8:46, and we want to move to a couple other topics. Let's talk about this post-Labor Day classic between Alabama State University and Tuskegee. What's the word from all your fellows around here? Especially Doug, Trey, have you talked to him?
Yeah, I talked to him. He out on state, man. You know. I'm gonna say this, Dr. Smith. Now they ain't gonna give Tuskegee nothing. Now it's a different story when you know it comes to A&M. You know, but Tuskegee, they not giving them nothing. So Alabama State is really high on their team. After that, the performance against UAB, they are really high. They think they have a chance to compete. They think they have a chance to beat Tuskegee this year. Now, on the other end, you know, Tuskegee says that's their stadium. They done won more games at their stadium than Alabama State playing in the series, playing against each other at the stadium. So, like you said, Dr. Smith, get your meat in the seat, man. It's going to be a good one, man. It's going to be a good one this Saturday.
Ooh, boy, it's going to be off the chain. I'm telling you, put your meat in the seat over there at the Alabama State University Stadium. At 5 o'clock, kickoff time, come support the Hornets or come support the Tigers, because this is nothing but a version of the Turkey Day Classic played on post-Labor Day. And everybody says, it's Labor Day Classic. It's the post-Labor Day Classic. So it's going to be awesome. There's going to be a lot of festivity going on. There've been some things going on all week. Started on the 1st. They had some things yesterday. They got some things tonight. And they got those concerts and the President Gala tomorrow. And then you have the concert on Friday, Anthony Hamilton. You got a comedy show going on. You got a blues show going on. You got a first Friday party going on. Oh, man, you got everything going on. Then you got the tailgate on Saturday, and everybody's going to make it do what they do. You got the old school Sigmas and Zetas is joining, and their family and friends going to be there Saturday. You know, the cost of the meal is $20. That's all you can eat and all you can drink. $10 for students and children, and children under the age of 6 eat free. So come check them out. Come get your blue band and eat all you can eat over there on 5th Street. That's 1513 5th Street, right on by the soccer field on the campus of Alabama State University. Check out those guys at the old school reunion, the Blue and White Affair. Check them out. It's going to be on and popping. But make sure, as Trey said, and that's our word, put your meat in the seat. You ain't going to know how the story could be told unless you sit there and watch it. I think it's going to be an outstanding game. I think they found them a back that's going to make a difference, and that's a little fellow from South Florida, transferred, Durbin Bell, and he's a lightning in a bottle, they say. He's lightning in a bottle. When he gets the crease, all he needs is the crease, and he gets it. You got to run behind him. So, we're going to check that out and see how excited they're going to be. But they did lose a player. They lost a quarterback, Pearson kid. They lost him with a broken leg against UAB. So now the other people got to step up And we'll see how excited it's going to be to play good defense. Matter of fact, that's y'all defensive coordinator, Trey Pearson up there came. Travis Pearson left y'all and come to Alabama State last year.
Yes, sir.
And we sent Jenkins up there to y'all. So he got them playing at a high level. They say a very high level. And, you know, he's been around long enough to know it. So it looks good. It's going to be good. Now, the problem is the rest of the schedule. You got Kennesaw State coming in here. And they're focusing on a high level of FCA. FCS, and then you have also Grambling coming in after them, because they actually got four games at home, and the fifth game of the season will be against Alcorn. So, how promising you guys think at the end? It might be as promising, but go and support your team. We will support Alabama State University. We'll support Tuskegee University. We'll support every historical black college and university. So we're excited about having an awesome season this year. So make sure you support your favorite team, but if not, support a team close to you. All right, Trey, we're going to just kind of skip down here and kind of move to some high school action. Let's look at some storylines, and I'm going to share some rankings dealing with the state of Florida and the state of Georgia. Some good performance of last week, Trey. Share some thoughts, because I went to a couple games, even went to a middle school game yesterday. So kind of share some thoughts on North Alabama, and I'll pull in the South as well as Central.
Like you said, Dr. Smith, I went to a high school game. I went to Huntsville versus Jemison. Two touchdown lead, took Huntsville on in for the victory. Jemison is playing with a freshman quarterback. That's I think if Jemison would have had their regular quarterback, they would have had a chance in this game. He's out with concussion protocol. So that happened. Also, we had up here in the north, Clay Chalkville versus James Clement. Clay Chalkville pulled that one out. So both of my heavy hitters up here took a lump. Lee High School, Lee Huntsville, we took a lump, big time lump, 49-0. We got beat by Grissom. So that's a big time lump. We got the big one tomorrow, the rival high school. We got Jemison versus Lee Huntsville. So that's a big one. And we also have Huntsville versus Grissom, the battle of the undefeated. So we're going to see how this works out this weekend. Lee Grissom will be big time. I have, you know, some stats and stuff on that next Wednesday, and I will also have some on the Huntsville Grissom game. And we also have James Clement versus Bob Jones. That's the Madison Bowl. So it's rivalry week up here, fellas. We're going to see how that works, though, Dr. Smith.
Okay, awesome, Trey. I tell you, because those are outstanding games. We just called out of some of the things that occurred. Down in Central Alabama and South Alabama, I think one game that was really outstanding. I enjoyed the performance of the high school young people. I went over to Crimson Bowl and watched Robert E. Lee versus Sidney Lanier, and it was back and forth, and several opportunities Lanier missed out. The final score in the game was 19-17, I believe. The final score was 19-17. Saw some real positive thing out of the young man who's rated one of the top basketball players in the state of Alabama, Antoine Barnett. He's a receiver and cornerback, and playing both of those positions at a high level. And it was just quarterback just had to work a little harder in throwing it, but it's his first time starting, so sometimes you get some challenges in there. And so it was an awesome game with that Crimson Bowl. We're going to applaud both teams and their young people and the whole community of Robert E. Lee and Cindy Lanier High School. Also, there were Central Phoenix City traveled to Georgia and played over there to Georgia with that Cam Newton so-called classic, whatever they had over there. And they end up beating that team that's ranked number one, Central Phoenix City did. So that was good for the performance there. And a young man that moved down to Central Phoenix City from up in Virginia named Chase. He's doing a good job of that playing cornerback over there. Chase Stevens, and doing a real good job over there. And looked like had a lot of promise over there. So we applaud Central Phoenix City. They just pumping them out, more and more and more players on a full-time basis. Also had an opportunity to go to a middle school game yesterday, and that game was between Alabama Christian Academy and Montgomery Catholic, and the game was nip and tuck, 0-0 to the last play of the game, and Catholic running back broke one and scored a touchdown and scored ending up 6-0. So we applaud those young men, those boys, and as well as performing at a high level. And there are some games coming up this week, and we're going to give you some follow-up, and I'll talk more about it on Friday at 2:30, talk more about those games and exactly who's going to be playing. But just to get back with Coach Evers right quick. Coach Evers, can you share a little bit on Chapman? What is Chapman, your team, doing? I know a 70 to something last week. What happened this week?
We were off this week, Dr. Smith, so we chilling, baby. We priming up. We trying to come out and look like the New England Patriots next week, baby. Mm-hmm. We're trying to come out the gates, baby. We've been practicing hard in this heat. Full pad on them. I really don't let them go full pad because I'm trying to keep my guys, the few that I have, healthy. But like I said, last week we scored a career high. It was 54-12 at the half. And we finished, you know, took all my starters out the second half. We finished the game 70-40. So we gave up a lot, but it could have been Dr. Smith, the way that train was rolling, I think we could have scored 100, man. The way that thing rolled in there. But we prime up. We play next Wednesday at 4:30. So I have something for you immediately after the game. We play Wednesday at 4:30.
Awesome, Trey. I tell you, keep on grinding on A&M up there. Yeah, Chapman, that's Coach Edwards up there with those Chapman Indians, correct?
Yes, sir. Chapman Indians, baby.
Yeah, and y'all keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on grinding, and we look forward to supporting you and tell young people we're talking about them on Talking Sports Plus. All right, let's look at some high school rankings in the state of Florida. I want to always get, but you can still be a part of this call. We're down about 5 minutes being part of this show by calling in 347-857-4192. If you're on the web link, you just stay on the line until we close this thing out. But you can call in, press 1. If you got some thoughts about your community, your school, you can share with us. Please do that. And just press 1, identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, and then ask you to give us your name, location, and your question and comment. Now, the Florida high school football rankings, after week one, you have IMG Academy out of Bradenton, Florida, St. Thomas Aquinas, Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Northwest out of Miami, Central out of Miami, Columbus out of Miami, Lakeland out of Lakeland, Florida, Columbia out of Lake City, right? If you come on 75, coming down before you get to Gainesville, you got Lake City, Carroll City out of Miami, Armwood, as well as Vanguard out of Ocala. Ocala right there, Wildwood and Ocala, right before you get to the Turnpike. So those are the top 10 in the state of Florida. State of Georgia, you have Marietta on the other side of Atlanta over there. Those Florida people, I mean, Georgia folks are aware of that site. That's Marietta High School. Colquitt County, North Gwinnett County, Lee County, which is number 4, Parkview, which is number 5, and McEachum is number 6. Lowndes out of Valdosta, Georgia, down in South Georgia. Archer, then Carterville. We know Carterville is up there somewhere close to where Cam is from. And then you have Cedar Grove. And I think Cedar Grove is a team they play. So they ranked number 10, but in that class, they ranked number 1. So they lost to Central Phoenix City. Those are the classes ranking, and they're all mixed up. They have 8-9 classes in the state of Florida, and you have like 6 in the state of Georgia. Like Alabama has 7 classes of athletics. So We gave you, we wanted to share with you the Florida as well as the Georgia. We're going to have the Tennessee, the South Carolina, Mississippi, as well as Louisiana and Arkansas. So we're going to share all of them in the southeastern part of the United States. It's been an awesome show tonight, Trey. We're going to wrap it up. I really hate the rest of our team wasn't here, but we had an exciting time. I always did with teaming up with Trey as a duo is awesome, man. I tell you, I do appreciate him taking his time. Trey, you can share your thoughts as we close it out, then I'll wrap it up after that.
All right, I appreciate you, Dr. Smith, for letting me get on here with you tonight, man. Glad to be here. Hey, we got the post-Labor Day Classic. Y'all go check it out. Also, the Alabama A&M Bulldogs opened up their sweat season with Arkansas Pine Bluff. So we'll see how that comes out. I have some stats and stuff on that for y'all next Wednesday. Y'all have a blessed night. Y'all have a good one. Have a good one, Dr. Smith.
You do the same, Trey. It's always good to be here. Like I tell everybody, we're just sharing the voice and being the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So we're always glad to bring you some outstanding information. Look forward to more next week. We're going to talk about the hottest topic. Now, join us on Friday at 2:30 Central Standard Time, 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. That's the p.m. We're going to be talking some real sports with Balling with the Doc, and I'm going to focus on some of the hottest topics. I'm going to have some follow-up for what we talk about tonight. It is going to be awesome. We look forward to having you on Friday at 2:30 Central Standard Time, and we also look forward to you joining us on Monday with Talking Real to You at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So we're going to come and we're going to just talk about just plain old life issues on Tuesday. I'm sorry, on Monday, then we'll come back Tuesday with Dr. Lowe Show. And we're going to just talk about relationships. And we're looking forward to a couple of things going on. We're looking forward on October the 19th, being in Jonesboro, Georgia, having our first tour of the relationship, talking about real relationship issues. And we're going to be there at the Lake Spivey Golf Club. We're going to be there. And it starts at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that'll be 2 o'clock on the central side. And we're going to be there for 2 hours, and we're just going to be talking. Then the team is going to get together and do some things after that as well. So we look forward to having an awesome time. So we really, really appreciate you taking time to join us tonight. And like I tell you, we get to the end of the show. We always tell you, you know, you got to have our hashtag. Hashtag is keep on grinding. That's my hashtag. And the second one is communicate for the number 4, understanding. And last but not least, I try to also make sure we understand that, you know, God is so good to us. He blessed us with a lot of opportunities. And he blessed us with some of the best days that we can encounter. So I want to make sure I play this and go on the rights to it. But as I get ready to play this, best days.
Yeah. You may think that it's over.
I love you.
That is the thing you can provide.
Have an awesome night. Have an awesome post. Labor Day Christ the weekend. Put your
don't
meat in the feet.
Challenge.
At the stadium at 5 o'clock.
Your banner's only one day. Yeah. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end. Before the story began, he told me to tell you the best.
It's yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a
the
winner,
best.
You're a winner,
it's
you're a winner.
Yet
yeah.
To come. You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen nothing.
You ain't seen your best day.
Oh, well,
my. You ain't seen your best day yet.
Stay in the faith, my sister.
You ain't seen your best day yet.
Stay in the word, my brother, my brother, my brother, my brother.
Your best day.
What
Keep on praying. You ain't seen nothing.